Okay, so you're listening to Liberation, Jonathan Emile. Jonathan is a Montreal resident of Jamaican descent. He's done hip-hop material, collaborated with, some heavyweights, Kendrick Lamar and the like. He's released his album earlier this year, and Maxi Priest and Jonathan actually are promoting the single that was released on June 23, which is pretty timely, actually. Babylon is Falling. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
Greetings, King. Greetings. Always an honor and a pleasure.
Jonathan.
Yes, thank you so much for having us today. What's going on, Maxi?
Jonathan, what's up, man?
It's a turbulent time. Turbulent time.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Liberation.
Okay.
Yes,
so, you're listening to Maxi Priest in the background, and by the way. So, basically, Jonathan, you're Montreal-based, a cancer survivor. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was born and raised in Montreal, like you said, of Jamaican descent. And, this past year has been a life-changing one for me. I finally embraced a part of my identity, part of my roots. And I got into, I finally put out my first reggae album. And I put that out through Tuff Gong and my label, Mind Peace Love. I think for everyone it's been a tumultuous year, but a lot of the songs and the themes that I've been discussing for a long time have just sort of like coalesced over the last little while. And I had the opportunity to collaborate with Maxi in the beginning of this year. And we put out a song together called Babylon is Falling. And, it's been falling for a long time. We've been working on ourselves, working on our emancipation and change. And I've been just putting all of my frustrations and my energies into my creativity. And, this last year has been a blessing to put out music, but we're putting it out in a very strange and turbulent time. So my background, like I said, when I was younger, I was diagnosed with cancer. And going through cancer treatment is when I really fell in love with music, and I use it as a personal and spiritual therapy, to get through those tough times. And I made a promise that, if I got through it, that I would continue to share this message with the world. And this is what I've continued to do after beating cancer when I was in my early 20s. So here I am.
So essentially you found some solace in the music. The music got you through it.
Absolutely. Much. One thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain, right? So
no pain.
It's really something that used to heal. And, we've been using that from the dawn of time, from West Africa through the Middle Passage, through slavery, through oppression, fighting for our rights. We do it in song. So I'm just, carrying that tradition and carrying the torch and continuing that tradition.
And then there's Maxi Priest.
Yes, man.
I think Maxi Priest.
I love to listen to you.
I think I can say one word, Maxi Priest. I don't think I need any introduction. But anyway, Maxi Priest.
Love listening to Jonathan.
Yeah.
I like to hear him talk. And especially as a youth, we survived cancer thing. Rough. It's like him get an inspiration, a turnaround, clear roots. And you have to always have your groundation with you. No matter where or how you are in life, without your groundation, you're weak. I tell people, I'm a street kid, I come from the street. And no matter how far or how high I reach, I never leave where I'm coming from. I will never, ever forsake it or turn my back on it or not remember the groundation that I come from, because that's what keeps me sane. That's what keeps me solid. That's what keeps me driving, because even with all of what's happening with all this racism and all the different difficulties that we are all facing right now, you have to somewhat hold on upon your roots, because that's what keeps you solid. And that's what keeps you going, you know? Don't get lost.
That's it. Don't get lost. You're listening to the reggae icon, Maxi Priest, a British reggae legend, basically. He's done a good job of fusing reggae and R&B and jazz, and I think he's easily the most versatile artist on the planet.
I believe that. That's true. I've never heard that title.
Many, many hits. Wild World, Close to You, just a little bit longer, just a catalog of music. And, you know, thank you for the great body of work you've done, Maxi Priest.
Give thanks. I mean, you know, from day one, you know, I came into this business, I always looked at it to say, boy, first and foremost, I love the art, you know. I love the art of singing, the craft of it. You know, Dennis Brown, as everybody knows, is one of my greatest idols. You understand? As a kid, I remember I used to sit down and you know, I'm not going to do nothing until I can sing a whole Dennis Brown song. You know, so... And when I listen and when I finally got to meet Dennis, you know, he solidified everything for me because he kind of made me understand, you know, he also listened to a lot of different genres of music and different style of singing and, you know, created his style out of many, many different genres of music and mostly appreciating the art of singing. So, when I came into it, I never ever wanted to just be pigeonholed in any genre. So for me, it was always about using my experiences and my opportunities and bringing them all together to somewhat, you know, elevate, evolve, and also move me and also my folks forward.
Okay, so gentlemen, Jonathan, starting with you, what's your thoughts on the current affairs in terms of, you know, the volatility of the young black man?
Well, where to start on that? I feel that we've arrived at another tipping point. Right? We've arrived at another moment in history where things are being clarified, and you know, there's been a lot of misrepresentation or sweeping things under the rug. And now we're being confronted with it, you know, right up in our face like so many times before. And what's interesting is we're having a moment where people are coming together across color lines and even across class lines to say, you know, enough is enough, you know. And we have, you know, multiple calamities happening at the same time. And I think it's just showing how much we are all connected. And with all this isolation and all, you know, the world slowing down to a certain extent, you know, it's giving people time to think, you know. So me as a young black man, it's inspiring, it's challenging, it's depressing, it's all those things. But it's hopeful, you know. So I'm just trying to channel this hope and this energy and put it back into the music and take some time to reconnect with people I haven't or explore different ideas or listen to different speakers and leaders and you know, re-strategize a way forward using the blueprint of the past. So that's where I'm at least personally right now.
Maxi Priest, is reggae music equipped to confront these social issues? I mean,
oh my God, from day one, this has been our fight from morning.
Well, I know historically we've carried the torch, 70s, 80s, but are we keeping it? Are we keeping the fire burning?
I think that we are. You know, maybe not as much as it was. You know, but I think we are. I think we are. And then there's another new generation coming again, like for instance Jonathan and so many other artists that are coming now with, you know, bringing it back to the one love cultural basis of our music. We have played a tremendous part worldwide in you know, making people recognize and understand the problems that we are facing head on, straight on. The Rasta Man has been one of the loudest voices of all times.
I know
when it comes to this.
I know Nelson Mandela said he drew a lot of inspiration from Bob Marley's music coming out of Jamaica.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah. You know, it's like he was reading my mind. He took his name right out of my mouth. You know, because when you think, you know, we are chanting freedom for Africa way before Nelson Mandela was ever released. You know, yeah. when you look at people like, you know, Steve Biko and, you know, oh my God. You know, the Rasta man has been at the forefront for many years.
So going down that same going down that same vein though, do we celebrate our reggae pioneers enough? I mean, we had people like Peter Tosh and Jacob Miller 40 years ago talking about legalizing and, you know, and it's actually coming to fruition today. I mean, are they being recognized in all this enough, you think?
Do I think that they've been recognized enough? Honestly, no, I don't. But then I also have to kind of look towards the government of Jamaica to somewhat play a big part in that. Because, you know, the musicians and the artists can only do but so much where that is concerned. You know, if I look at somebody like Dennis Brown, come on, man. Really? Why do we not have a statue of Dennis Brown in the new part of downtown Kingston where they're building right now? Why do we not have that? That's just, I can't see any other country having such a prolific artist that has given his life for the benefit of this country, that he doesn't have a statue like that. It's kind of unreal.
Yeah, it comes right back to saying we're not celebrating them enough. That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. However,
and so I agree with what you're saying, but and I could, you know, when you look at somebody like Jacob Miller, you know, and the list goes on, John Holt, the list goes on. But, you know, as I said, the artists, them, you know, they have so much. They can do so much. But even when I first came into the business, I always thought that the government would have somewhat of a controlled structure of music business in Jamaica. And I still don't think that they have.
Well, I know they have the college, the Mona, the School of Music. I know they have that. But in terms of, you know, any other structure.
Yeah, but as a business structure, for something that has brought so much to the country,
when you look at it,
think that
like,
they would somewhat have some input.
Really, our people. You know, our natural resources, our people, is our creativity, is our ingenuity. To have, to have the people, the government, the people through the government involved in that type of structure to really fund that type of export of the, because that's very much what happens on the Canadian side, right? So you have all sort of grants and programs to stimulate artists and give them the business savvy to go out and to export, you know, their creativity to the world, you know, and that's something I'd love to see in Jamaica while honoring, you know, all the pioneers who did it without that infrastructure, without that commitment from the people, from the taxpayers, from the industry, from everything, you know.
Couldn't have said it better. Could not have said it better, because every individual artist has struggled on his own with his own situation by the help of a lot of the producers and people like that, but not from a governmental point. And I think if the government kind of got involved in it as a structure, you know, it would be a lot more clear cut.
Well, talking about that, both of you guys, you know, did it the hard way. You guys actually came through, not out of Jamaica with the reggae, but, you know, you're, of course, British, and Jonathan is coming out of Montreal. So is that easier to do now, or it still has its challenges?
I'm still struggling.
Say that again?
I'm still struggling. I'm still going out there trying to make a name for myself and you know, connect with the right people and be in front of the right audiences. So, you know, I'm taking really the first steps in my journey, and I'm just lucky enough to have, you know, have Maxie be able to, you know, don't move this way, move that way, or just give me some advice and help me with the foundation.
Is there a real difference reggae coming out of internationally than Jamaica, would you say, as an artist? Is there a difference in terms of
There's a difference. There's a difference all around the world, but the root of it comes from Jamaica. I want to answer the question what Jonathan was just talking about a while ago, and the fact is that it's easier and it's harder, because it's easier because you can sit in your room and you can make something, and if you can't really sing, you can actually patch things together and make something happen. Now, because you can do that, there is so many out there.
Yeah.
So it's like a swarm, a school of fish running through the sea, and then, you know, the internet just comes along as a wheel and just come eat up more of it, and then what survives, you know. And that's what makes it difficult, because it's easier, but at the same time it's harder, because it's crowded. There's nobody holding any kind of gate to say, you know, like back in the day, a man come audition and bring him guitar and a player. And a man look on the man, someone said, boy, you know, like the song, you know, go back next time, boom, 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 come back round. And then my next man come and play a song, and a man said, boy, you can't really sing that tune there, you know, but we can put you in touch with a John Holt or somebody else. And then they work together. So it becomes another branch of the situation where, you know, now, you know, like I said, any Tom, Harry, Sharon, Angela can build a thing in them yard, and immediately they can put it out to the world. Boom! Straight away. And there's no body kind of going, boy, that already yet, you know, or, you know, my old, mine way out there, you know. There's no real kind of guidance to the thing. So therefore, the doorway gets jammed, because there's a lot of people trying to get through the doorway at the same time.
Maxie Priest and Jonathan Emile, they're my guests. They're promoting a single just being released. Babylon is Falling. We're going to play that and come back. This is WPKN and WPKN.org.
Jonathan Emile, Maxie Priest. Babylon is falling. Babylon is falling. Babylon falling. Babylon falling. This earth, down pressure, man, I kept the life. He give you a piece of the pie. He close on the eye.
Yeah.
This can't maintain, some things are too straight. We need our seed to grow against the grain. Empires will crumble and fade away. Change. Either way, Jah. Babylon is falling.
Just like a volcano bubbling over, to take it to the heights, you have to step like a soldier. Revolution divine, Jaja give us the sign. Yeah. Who got the eyes and let them see? Who got the ears and let them hear? Here we go again, will it ever end? Politics, monumental of injustice, it just can't stand.
fire a go bum on your idiot plans. So you better understand, like a castle in the sand.
Babylon is falling.
Oh.
Babylon is falling. Babylon is falling. Babylon falling.
Yeah.
Mm. Babylon is falling.
Falling.
Yes, this is 89.5 and WPKN.org icon here. Jonathan, Emil, and Maxi Priest, they're my guests. Maxi Priest, what does it look like when Babylon does fall?
say that again, King.
What will it look like when Babylon does fall?
Wow. Man. What will it look like? I think there will be a lot more, there will be a lot more love and joy in the world. You have to remember, you know, this is a state of mind. This is not actually anything physical. You know what I'm saying? This is a state of mind. It's a way of thinking. You know, with all this racism, who feels like they are better than the other? You know, it's the achievement is balance. It's equality. That is what we're trying to. That's what we're struggling for, and this is what we're fighting for.
Jonathan, I know you're of a little younger generation. So you're coming from a different, you know, perspective from, you know, some from us. You're a little younger. So I think we're getting there eventually. I think we're on our way, but we're not there yet. I mean, we see what's going
on. Ask him the same question.
Yeah, I mean, because I think you're absolutely right. We're not there yet, you know. And, you know, it's a verb. Falling, you know, it's not going to just implode overnight. It has to erode. We have to work on it. You know, it's taken generations.
What is it going to look like?
Yeah, I think the world will be kinder. I think people will be able to realize their worth more and to be more fulfilled and have more meaningful relationships and connections, and just live in a world that's freer than we have right now. Just like the world is freer for us now than it was 30 years ago and 30 years before that and 100 years before that. So the process of, you know, Babylon falling is one that takes time. So we're going to be able to be more free and be more connected and be more authentic, I think, and kind of
level, you know, playing field.
Yeah.
Well, I think,
and right now, it's like it's really uncomfortable, especially because we're confronting it head on. You know, we know that there is injustice and the brutality is right in our face, and that's why we have to take to the streets and march and protest and make our voices heard, because the work is not done yet, you know. So that is a part of it, and it feels uncomfortable now, but look what the civil rights movement gave us, you know. So we're marching again.
Well, and, I think the song is also on time, very timely. I think we can use this as an anthem to sort of just march our way to the future. And I think reggae music need more of that, more so than the, you know, dance hall. I mean, I'm not saying much about anything bad about the dance hall, but I think we need to sort of restore the credibility of reggae somewhat. What do you say about that?
The one love movement.
That's right. I mean, in the 60s, 70s, we had lots of conscious music on the airwaves. You know, you have it coming from everywhere and every continent. We had Lucky Dube fighting the struggle in Africa. We had, you know, we had Marley, Tosh and those guys. And, you know, even in England, we had Aswad and Maxi Priest and Steel Pulse. So we want to keep that sort of consciousness going. So,
and we have to do it, right?
That's
we have
right.
To do it. It's not going to be the industry, because if the industry can't control something, it's never really at the forefront of what they're pushing, right? So what we're offering people is not only a musical connection, but it's a spiritual one. And that's the real power of reggae music. You know, this whole idea of international black solidarity, you know, that is, I think, the best way to articulate that is through reggae music. You know, all this, you know, rest in peace to
that industry.
has to come from us.
Yeah, that's it.
You know,
it's got to come.
And there has to be an industry, or else we will be in the which I think that there is somewhat of a confusion at the moment. As I explained before, in a way, there's too much outlet. Because, you know, as I said before, that any and anybody, how do you control any and anybody from their mindset, from sitting in their home and just putting out whatever they want to put out and put it underneath the heading of reggae or any other kind of genre of music? How do you control those people?
Well, that would be a struggle. That would be a struggle. But I'm thinking that the dancehall reggae, though, we should sort of create a sort of a better niche for it. That's basically what I'm saying. That's my
But that's what I'm saying the same thing. But how do you control Bill, John, Fred, Harry, you know, Angela, all these different people? When one said, "Why, you know, Galandani." You know, where am I, officer? How do you control that?
Well, we try to uplift the positive ones.
Yeah.
I would say to you that it requires a structure and an industry, and an industry with a structure. Because I can almost guarantee you that a lot of genres of music would not entertain without somebody standing up and saying, no, that's not where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that we have a kind of a united structure that builds a one voice. Like, for instance, the time when you're talking about when Bob and Dennis and all these people, we had thick guidelines, both morally, yeah, as a person, consciously, religiously, spiritually. We had thick lines. Those lines are very thin. You know, I don't even know why we get by this subject, but it's a very serious subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
because the music and the voice is a leading spear for us as people.
Yeah,
and I'm not quite sure where we're leading to.
Yeah, this is WPKN, WPKN.org. Maxi Priest, Jonathan Emile, Babylon is Falling. That is the new single that they're promoting. Thank you for hanging out with us here. Maxi Priest, of course, is the legend icon out of now, you're from not London. Is it London?
From the world.
Well,
you
started somewhere.
My parents is from St. Elizabeth, Jamaica. And out of 9, four were born in England.
Okay. Jonathan Emile, also, you moved to Montreal at some point earlier in life.
I'm born in Montreal.
Oh, you're born in Montreal.
I'm from South. Yeah, from Savannah, Lamar in Jamaica. Yeah. Westmoreland.
Okay, so we have Jamaica, Montreal, and England pretty much represented.
And his parents is also French as well.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So you know, soon I'm going to have Max Priest on his first French reggae song, Wait Me Awake, from the vocals, you know. making sure that people, you know, that reggae is from Jamaica, but it's for the entire world. It's a gift to the world. You know, we have to keep continuing that and breaking down barriers to bring one love to everybody.
So, gentlemen, I know you guys both have done some collaboration. Is there any difference in having a collaboration than singing your own song? I mean, what's the differences?
Of course there is. There's
For sure.
I mean, you know, you're vibing your thing and
you know, you're vibrating from your heart, from your spirit, from your feeling, from your inside, right? And that is yours to take from the beginning of the song to the middle of the song to the end of the song, whatever that topic of the song may be. Now, of course, when you do your verse in the song, that is the same kind of vibration. But at the same time, you have to kind of be conscious that there is somebody else, you know, and we are here as a togetherness to share this vibration to bring towards the people. That's really it in a nutshell.
And when it works, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, right, it's just the difference between a monologue and a dialogue. So you can reach a different level of understanding when you're working with somebody and they bring something new, some energy, and it really becomes a conversation. And that's what music is. It's a tool for
each
mental
one,
and
each
spiritual
one.
Communication.
Gentlemen, this is a timely song. I don't know if it could have been any more timely. the only thing I could say is keep it coming.
Give time.
Yes, sir.
All right, Maxi Priest and Jonathan Emil, I want you guys to just wrap up. You know, anything for the audience you want to leave me with?
Jonathan, your time.
Yes, go please listen to the song and share the song. Share the love, and you can go get it. You know, on all social media, just look up Jonathan Emil. You will find it, and just share and let people know that, you know, reggae music is more alive now than ever, and the world needs it. So thank you all for listening.
Yeah, I echo the same thing that Jonathan says. Obviously, the real Maxi Priest, Instagram, Twitter, www.maxipriest.com. But watch out, I got a new album coming out very, very soon. Look out for it.
Maxi Priest.
It's called United State of Mind.
Maxi Priest, talking about that, is there a Robin Trower project in the works as well?
That is the project.
That is the project. There we go. There we go.
That is the project. Something very, very different.
That'll be nice. Come back when you do release that album.
Give thanks, King. God bless. And
blessing.
And honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I wish everybody well. We are in a very, very, very serious time. And, you know, be patient, you know, but, you know, keep the faith with the Most High, and we'll get through this.
Gentlemen, thank you for stopping by WPKN.
Yes, I can.
So Maxi Priest and Jonathan Emil, Babylon is falling. We're waiting for the fall. We'll see what happens then. This is 89.5 on WPKN.org. Icon and you until just about 7 p.m.